thank you, choir. Appreciate that song and the work. That was beautiful. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you also for the text, the emails, the phone calls, and everyone's been so kind to me, and I'm very humbled by it, and I appreciate it. Hebrews 12, and notice if you would, verse 14 through verse 17. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, thank you, Lord, today for thy word, and we thank you, Father, again for the message of salvation and another angle of it. We pray, Lord, for your help, your leadership, your guidance, your direction. And Father, we pray, Lord, for the power of God to rest upon this place today and to deal with all of our hearts. And Father, there are folks here, no doubt, have been born again by the Spirit of God. And I pray you deal with our hearts and help us remain tender to the Spirit of God. There are folks here, Father, who are lost. They admit it. And I pray you deal with their heart and help them realize that this may be the last message they hear. We don't know what's before us. Father, there's folks here that have never been saved, and yet they proclaim to be saved. They've deceived themselves. Their life didn't line up to the Bible. There's no leadership of the Spirit. And I do pray, Lord, for them, that you'd help them trouble their hearts greatly. And I pray they'd come to Christ before it's too late. Now, thank you again for this time. Lead us with thy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. That is a powerful verse. There's no holiness in your life, you're not going to see the Lord. And the Bible says in Romans 6:22, being then made free from sin, you become servants of God, your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. So a true convert is going to have holiness in their lives. And the Bible says if you don't have holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. Holiness is not what saves us. Jesus saves us. But as a result of salvation, there ought to be holiness in our lives. Then the Bible goes on and says here in verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, or as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Thank you. May be seated. Brother Inksetter, can I ask you for your help today? Let's get a microphone for Brother Inksetter. Just sit up here. I'm going to have you read some verses. Just help me out today, if you would. So if you guys can do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, today's the day of salvation. You may not think it is, but it is. God says you can be saved today. You say, well, I think, see, this is why the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his thoughts. Because too many times man puts his 2 cents into it. And he shouldn't. You'll just do what God says to you. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You can be saved now. You can be saved today. And he said, well, I don't think I can. Well, that doesn't matter what you think. God says you can. Now, whether you want to or not, whether you're willing to repent or not, is a whole different story. But you can be saved today. You can pass from death into life. You can have eternal life. You can have forgiveness of sins. You can have peace with God. You can have eternal. Redemption, regeneration. All these wonderful terms that come with salvation. Now the Bible goes on and talks here about a man named Esau. Esau was the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham. His brother was Jacob, and we find here back in Genesis 25. Verse 27 to 34, and Brother Inkson, if you can read that for us, we'd appreciate it. Genesis 25, verse 27 to 34.
Genesis 25, and verse number 27. And the boys grew And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. I'm sorry, did you say through 27?
Yeah, through 34. Okay.
And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." And therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
All right, thank you, brother. So what is a birthright? Birthright is the inheritance right of the firstborn son. So the ranking of the family is the father, father's rank and position as the head of the family. And then we find that at death it was passed on to the eldest son. It had to do with spiritual blessings. And Esau, his attitude toward it, could care less about his birthright, the priesthood, or he wanted to follow his fleshly desire. So for a meal, after hunting throughout the day, for a meal, Esau comes in from the field and he sells his family's birthright to his brother Jacob. Let me first say this about Esau. When he sold his opportunity for a relationship with God for a piece of a morsel of meat, he minimized the spiritual and a desire and desired the physical. And God left him alone. God cut him off. God said back in Hebrews 12:16, and Esau was a profane person. Now, let me define profane for you. Profane is that which lacks all relationship or affinity to God. Natural antagonism towards God and that which is holy. So he was a profane person. Now, Jewish history tells us he was immoral. He was a fornicator. He was a lustful man. And we find here that the Bible calls him a profane person. So just very typical. And we've said this before about people who turn from God. They go into idolatry, usually self-worship or worship of something else, and then immorality. They run hand in hand. Same thing with Esau. No doubt he was a hunter. He loved hunting. Nothing wrong with hunting. There shouldn't be an idol in your life. And, can you imagine someone putting up a tree stand this past week? Oh, that's right. Tim did. So anyway, and he had someone help him. But anyway, I'm just teasing about that. But people are making idols. It's their reason for living. That's not a reason to live. God is the reason for living. Knowing God, serving God, living for God. Now, there's nothing wrong with hunting. I'm all for it. And there's nothing wrong with shooting an animal if you're going to eat it. Now, you want to shoot squirrels? That's a whole different story about eating them and all that stuff. But many, I'll have someone come up to me. Squirrel's the most delicious thing you ever eaten. Anyway, but the Bible says he was a profane person. And that it lacks all relationship or affinity to God. He was profane. He was ungodly. He was a foolish man. He was an ingrate. He was senseless. He had an opportunity to be saved. He rejected it. Now, God does not will the death of any man. He wants all to be saved. If God had his way right now, every lost person would be saved in this auditorium. Every lost person in the world would be saved. God had his will and his way. So some people say, oh, God is not sovereign then because he didn't have his way. It's a choice of man, beloved. It's a choice. And few there be to find it. Now, everyone who goes to hell goes against God's desire, God's will. But we find here that God's will is that all men to be saved. He doesn't want any to perish. And it's not God's fault that man rejects it. It's every man's choice to receive Christ or reject Him. In Acts 2:21, the Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say come, and let him that heareth say come. Let him that's athirst, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So if it was up to God, all men be saved. But man has a free will. He has a will, and most times he chooses his will over God's will. Now, this morning we all have choices to make. There's going to be things that God's going to speak to all of our hearts about. And to the saved, it may be a whole boatload of things. But to those you're lost, God's going to speak to your heart about being saved. And you're going to have to make a choice. There's no ignorance that can be claimed before God. It's unacceptable. And today, not only will we have an opportunity to be saved, but I don't know this. Today may be the last time you have an opportunity to be saved. Not only is this an opportunity to be saved, but it may be the last opportunity to be saved. Now, I have to tell you this morning that you cannot take lightly God's grace. You can't trample the blood of Jesus. You can't dismiss it. You can't say, not now, not today, soon. That doesn't work with God. Understand this, that it's important for you to come now. Come as you are. God accepts you as you are if you're willing to repent and trust Christ. You say, preacher, I'd get saved, but I'm going to do it when I'm ready. No, it's not have nothing when you're ready. It's when God calls you. If God calls you to be saved, you've got to respond. In John 6:44, no man can come to him except the Father which hath sent me draw him. You can get to the point where it becomes too late. That's a serious thought, beloved. I have to tell you, this is not the time to be fiddling around with your phone. It's not the time to be texting. It's not the time to be looking stuff up on the internet. It's time to focus on the next few minutes on the subject which is prevalent in the Bible, that it can come too late and becomes impossible for you to be saved. I think there have been about 2-3 people over the years that I have seen, that I've ministered to, that became reprobate. And God stopped speaking to them. I don't think it's something that you just say lightly. Because reprobation is a terrible place to be. It's hopeless. There's no hope whatsoever. Because God has stopped dealing with you. And you can't be saved. Do you understand that? You can't be saved. And it takes place. It's in the Bible. Esau sought repentance carefully with tears, but he found no repentance. Now, in Genesis 6:3, God said, my spirit's not always strive with man. There comes a time when God stops dealing with man about salvation. He'll not call you. He will not deal with your heart. He's not going to convict you. You're not going to be sought out. It's too late. It's too late. Again, to remind you that God said to Esau that he had waited too long to be saved. Now, don't be like Esau in the sense of being profane, taking God lightly, being fleshly, immoral, lustful, foolish, to sell your soul for a bowl of pottage. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not going to sell my soul for a bowl. All right, but you can sell it for a lot of things. You can sell it for sex. You can sell your soul for music. You can sell your soul for an idol. You sell your soul for sports, for money, materialism. There's lots of things you can sell your soul for where you go too far with God. Too far. Now, after Esau came from the field, and he was very hungry, and he smelled the pottage and said to his brother Jacob, give me something to eat or I'll die. Now, how many people, raise your hand, how many people believe he's going to die right there? How many people have ever said this before? I'm starving. All the hands that went up, how many people are starving? No. See, we make these claims. I'm going to die. Jacob said, sell me your birthright. Jacob said, sell me your birthright. And Esau said, you can have it. I want to eat. See, just thoughtless. But see, he had given into things. He had given into the flesh. He had did what his flesh told him to do over and over and over and over. He was covetous. He was lustful. Now I want to tell you something, parents. You have a child in your home, you make sure you clip that thing in his life, her life, if they're covetous. You've seen people like that. Seen guys, they have to have the latest and greatest. No matter how much they're in hock for, how much they're in debt for, they have to have the latest and greatest. And they got to go around showing it off. Some people do it with gadgets. Some people do it with sports equipment, fishing poles, you know, the latest rifle, whatever it may be. People do that. Women do it with clothes, the latest and greatest. They go out and spend, if you did this, I don't know. No one told me. You go out and spend $400 for a purse. Now, I'm sorry. $400 for a purse? What are you going to put in? You going to put makeup in it? Diaper pins? Paper clips? You couldn't do that with $100? But it's the brand name. Look, you buy it, and for $100, I'll put the brand name on it. Break out my crayons, and it'll make it look real nice. I mean, think about that. Why would someone, and maybe you did, but I'm saying is that's covetousness. That's not the way to live. We're to be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So how important that is. Now, we find here that he came in and I want to eat. I want it now. God said that Esau despised his birthright. He thought more of his flesh than he thought of the blessings and birthright from God. In other words, Esau thought more about the pottage than he did of the Son of God. He said, I'd rather have a mess of pottage than Jesus. I'd rather have pottage than a personal salvation. I'd rather have soup than salvation. I mean, that's the way he was. He took it lightly. It was like an offer. You can be saved right now, and you sit there and say, you know what? I'm not going to have cheeseburger right now. I'll have that for dinner. Right now, I'll have a sandwich. You're just treating the Son of God without any respect, any reverence. Sold his birthright. He rejected salvation. He trampled the blood of Christ as it was nothing. He despised God's grace. He blasphemed the Spirit. He waited too long. He insulted God, insulted the Son, the Spirit. I mean, he just took lightly the things of God. God was as through with Esau as with any other man. It was impossible then for Esau to be saved. And you need to fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul. Esau, he rejected the birthright. Started thinking about what he had done, rejecting God and assaulting Christ, the Spirit, and he started seeking God in repentance. But it was too late. And let's just stop right here. Let me ask you something. I have three short points. Are you lost this morning? What is your excuse going to be if you don't get saved today? Or you don't understand it? What don't you understand? That Jesus died for your sins according to the Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day. And that through his sacrifice and his resurrection is the only payment for your sin. Is that hard to understand? And God wants you to turn to him from your idols. And most people's idols are themselves. They think so highly of themselves. And you need to turn to God and believe that Jesus' payment was sufficient and you'll be saved. It is a gift. It can only be received. And if you're coming to God the way the Bible says, there's no frustration in it. I'm so frustrated, preacher. Well, because you had a part in it. and you failed again. But if you come by God's grace, come God's way, there's no frustration. It's the reception of a gift. Now, the first thing is we see here is, when is it too late to pray? Now, the Bible tells of prayers, the tremendous answers and benefits of praying. The prodigal son's prayer in Luke 15, 21, 22. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. In Luke 18, 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. So the prayer of salvation is seen over and over and over again. Brother Inksetter, would you go to Romans 10, 9 through 13, please? Romans 10, 9, 13. We find here where God lays it out for us so simply on how we're to approach God concerning salvation. Whenever you're ready.
Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth the confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?
All right, thank you, brother. So we find here the simplicity. It's a heart matter. God is saying, if you agree with him in your heart that you're a sinner, you're lost, you're separated from God, and you believe that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is sufficient for your salvation, you'll be saved. So I've done that, preacher. No, you haven't. If you've done it, you'd have been saved. But you haven't done it. And that's why you're still lost. But it's a simple transaction between God and man. Now we find here, such simply, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And yet, it can be too late to pray. It was for Esau. He sought it carefully, but found no repentance. He sought it with tears, but found no repentance. So we see, when is it too late to pray? When is it too late to repent? Now Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, killed his brother Abel. And Randy, if you go to Genesis 4, and we find here that God wanted a sacrifice from both of them. They knew what kind of sacrifice to bring. It had to be a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It had to be a sacrifice. It had to be a blood sacrifice. Abel brings that. Cain, he brings the works of his hands, fruit and vegetables. Genesis 4, verse 2 through 7, please.
And again, bare his brother Abel, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
Thank you, brother. Verse 4, the Bible says the Lord had respect unto Abel. Why? He did what God told him to do. That's what salvation is. That's what the Bible says, obey the gospel. Be obedient to the gospel. You find in verse 3, Cain brought the fruit of the ground. And he brings this before God. It's the work of his own hands. And he's thinking it's going to make him right with God. Of course it wasn't. It went totally against what God said. It's like people trusting their baptism, their good works, their sacraments, joining a church, of being a Baptist, being immersed in water. They think these things are going to save them. The only one can save you, beloved, is Jesus. And that comes by your repentance and faith. Verse 6 and 7, twice God said to ask Cain about his condition. Verse 7, the Lord explains that if you have done right, nothing to worry about. And if not, sin lieth at your door. Yet Cain thought more of his fruit and vegetables and the works of his hands for salvation than he did the Son of God. Again, he insults God. He insults the Son of God, the Spirit of God. He tramples the blood of Christ. And we find that he dies and goes to hell. The Bible says he went out from the presence of the Lord. You know what he's concerned about? Oh, people are going to see the marking on my head. They're going to pick on me. Hey, you're going to die and go to hell. You understand that? Do you understand that, lost person? I've said this many times, but let this sink in. You are a heartbeat from hell. How many times this past week? Had to be probably 20, 25 times. Tuesday to Thursday. Sitting there, and Liz was there most of the time. All of a sudden, code red. Whatever they were saying, there was an emergency going on. People are ready to die, but weren't ready to die. A heartbeat. I said, well, I'm fine. You know this to be true, whether it's a car accident, something medical, things can change like that. Like that. One minute you're well, next minute you're being rushed to the hospital. You're a heartbeat from hell. A place of darkness, fire and brimstone, a place of continual falling. A place of no escape, no exit, no hope. Hell is not something to trifle with. It's not something to put off. Don't be an Esau. Don't be a Cain. Be more worried about something foolish and temporal and passing than your eternal soul. Find Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. How important that is to understand that we need to repent. Esau went out from the presence of the Lord. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, or despise thou the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, repentance blots out sins. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. But it can be too late to repent. You've gone too far. Esau thought more of his own life than he did the Word of God, the Son of God. The blood of Jesus came to the same. Thought more of his pride and his works than he did God's plan of salvation. I want you to see this, if you would. Brother Randy, would you go to Genesis 6? And we'll read verse 1 through 3 first. We're going to work our way through that chapter. Please join us as you go to chapter 6 of Genesis. Genesis 6, 1 through 3. Whenever you're ready, brother.
Genesis 6, 1 through 3. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years.
All right, 5 through 8, please.
Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Verse 11 through 14, please.
The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
Verse 22.
Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he.
All right, so he's obedient. Then go to chapter 7, brother, verse 5. Chapter 7, verse 5.
And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him.
Verse 7.
And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood.
Verse 16.
And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in.
All right, so we find here that there were people on earth that should have been saved. God gave them 120 years to be saved. They rejected the truth. They mocked Moses. They ridiculed him. He scoffed at him. But he was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached to them, trying to prepare them for the return, or rather for the flood. But they rejected. So Noah and his wife, his three sons, three daughter-in-laws, and the rest of them perished. It was too late. Once God shut that door, it was too late. You find here in the New Testament, John 12, verse 3 through 8, Brother Inksetter, John 12, 3 through 8, we see Judas. He thought more about money than he did about God, about the Son of God. He betrayed him, and he wouldn't repent of his lust of money. John 12, 3 through 8, please.
John 12, verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then went one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always.
All right, so Judas betrays Jesus. We know that for 30 pieces of silver. In Luke 22, we find where he betrays Christ with a kiss. And how wicked and how deceitful he was. He loved money more than he loved God. And it was proven. I mean, when I read this, I'm sorry, it reminds me of politicians. You know, oh, we could have sold that and given it to the poor. But they're not really concerned about the poor. Matthew 27, verse 3 through 5, please. Matthew 27, 3 through 5. Again, we find Judas. Yes.
Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself.
All right, Randy, if you go to Proverbs chapter 1. So we find here that Judas dies. He goes off to hell for what? For his love of money. And he left it all behind. He threw the 30 pieces of silver down. And he dies without God, without hope. And if anyone had access to Jesus, being one of the 12, he did. How foolish, how thoughtless, how spiritually ignorant he was to lose his soul. In Proverbs chapter 1, we read verse 20 to 31, please.
Verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And we're going through 30?
31.
31. And because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, then distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices.
So, thank you, brother. How many times does one have to be offered forgiveness? How many times does God have to speak to your heart about salvation, about being saved? How many times does God have to put up with you saying no to your Creator, the Son's blood, the Spirit's drawing, calling, not now, not today? And you think about the insult that is to God. If He calls you one time, you should respond. It shows you how wicked man is. Oh, now we'll submit in the family, husband, the wife, the husband, children, parents, the children, whatever it may be. Submit ourselves on the job. Oh, we always do everything right. We always do by the book. Oh, we're right and so on. But when it comes to God, out and out rebellion. I'm not going to be saved. I'm not going to bow my heart to Christ. I'm not going to receive the eternal gift of salvation. I'm not ready, and not now. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are before God? You come in when you want to? You have a fit over your children not obeying you and coming when you call them, and you're out and out rebellious toward God, not responding when He calls you. I'm talking about hypocrisy. You don't get saved, it may be too late. Matthew 14, please, brother. Verse 1 through 12.
Verse 1 through 12, and at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in a prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, there nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus.
So, thank you, brother. And if you just go to Luke 23, everyone turn to Luke 23, we'll close in a moment. But as you turn there, consider John the Baptist. The Gospel of John says John was a man sent from God. He was the voice of God. He was preparing a people for the Lord. So he comes on the scene, and Herod, who was a ruler, was living with his brother's wife. His brother was Philip. Her name was Herodias. And so they were living in open sin. And he said to him, right in front of him, he says, not lawful for thee to have your brother's wife. Now there's a bold preacher. Confront him about his sin. Next thing you know, you find where Herodias and gets all bent out of shape. Why, how dare you call me an adulteress? Oh, that's right. We should have said, it's not lawful for you and Herod to have an affair. That's a lot nicer. And they do it in Hollywood all the time, so it must be acceptable. So next thing you know, they throw him in prison. Herodias' daughter comes out, and she starts dancing. They're all drunk. And she asks by a mother asks for John the Baptist's head. And so next thing you know, Herod thought more about his wife than about God's voice, the messenger of God. And so he has him beheaded. Beloved, I just want to say this. It's not me. It's not about me. It's about the office. It's about the Word of God. It's about God. It's about the Son of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. This is not something that you can brush off like say, well, I started going to school, I was going to be this, but I changed my courses, this is what I became. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about I used to work here, but now I work here. I used to live here, now I live here. We're talking about something eternal. Something that has consequences for good or for evil. You cannot brush off the voice of God. You can't cut it off. Because if you do, God will cut you off. And God may cut you off even if you're willing to hear the voice of God, but not respond. So John the Baptist's head is cut off in Luke 23, verse 7 through 9. Brother Inksetter?
Luke 23, verse 7, and as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. And then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing.
He asked him nothing because Herod was the one who ordered the beheading of John the Baptist. Here's what it comes down to. Jesus had nothing to say to him. Well, but he should have loved him. Oh, please. He loved him so much, he went to the cross to die for him. But Herod cut off the voice of God. Tell me God should have loved him. Of course God loved him. But he was a fool. Herod was nothing but a fool. Thinking you sin and get away with it. Thinking you go on in life cavalier. Oh, I can do what I want to do. Nothing's going to happen. Let me tell you what may happen. Is the voice of God may be cut off. And you may not even know it. And it'll be impossible for you to be saved. No man cometh to me except the Father draw him. You cannot be saved without the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Now, if you're a hyper soul winner, you can talk to with the devil and try to reach him with the gospel. Just pray. But in the Bible context, it doesn't work that way. The Word of God and the Spirit of God must be working on that person's heart for them to come to Christ. But you go too far where Jesus answered him not a word. You may seek repentance. You may want to repent. You may tear up. Too late. So what are you going to do, lost person? What are you going to do with your sin? What are you going to do about your soul? What are you going to do with the conviction of the Spirit of God, the Word of God? You're going to brush it off? Won't be the first time. You're going to put it off? Won't be the first time. Or you're going to humble yourself and respond to it. It's not the time to debate. I've tried everything, it doesn't work. That's a lie. That's an out-and-out lie from the devil. When God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's what he meant. Works every time. I'll close by saying this, if I can use Ashley's testimony. For years, and I was deeply concerned, Liz was deeply concerned about Ashley. She was getting a little bit older. And, I tried. I prayed. It's not working for me. Maybe it's not going to work for me. And, you know, we had a deal with her on truth. It's what the Bible says. Apparently, you're confessing your sin, but you're not repenting of them. You've not yielded to God. You've not surrendered to God. You've not denied yourself. Amazing, when she came to Christ the Bible way, she got saved. And I go through the auditorium, testimony after testimony like that. But what are you going to do? What if today was the last day God was going to speak to your heart? Now, I know, preacher, but I don't think that's going to be. Well, how do you know? That's presumptuous. How do you know? Are you living like Esau? Are you profane? You're brushing off. You're not dealing with your soul. You're not dealing with your sin. You're finding fault with everyone else but your own sin. It may be that God's done with you after today's message. So while while there's hope, while you can, come to Christ. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what God wants. He wants you to have salvation. Submit yourself, yield yourself before it's too late. Let's stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around. Our Father, thank you so much for the privilege to preach the truth. Pray you bless the invitation. Pray, Father, for victory for God's people.